Emily Elizabeth, and I'm the host of the What Fulfills You podcast, a show for and about individuals always seeking to be their best selves. On this show, we talk all about building the mindset, finding the right careers, creating meaningful relationships, and so much more. Welcome to the What Fulfills You podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of What Fulfills You. My name is Emily Elizabeth. I'm your host. And for today's episode, we are diving into all things women's health, from hormones, gut health, birth control, hormonal issues, skincare, all of the things. And today's guest is Michaela Riley. She is a board certified functional nutritionist and functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner specializing in gut health, hormones, and metabolism. She helps clients uncover the root causes of their health struggles and creates personalized protocols for healing. After overcoming her own chronic gut and hormonal issues, Michaela is passionate about bridging the gap between traditional healthcare and functional wellness. Through in-depth lab testing, targeted nutrition, and strategic lifestyle shifts, she empowers individuals to restore balance, optimize metabolism, and feel their best. If you are looking for a great starting point and some basic fundamentals for where you can start to improve your overall health, this episode is for you. With that being said, let's welcome Michaela to the podcast.
Well, Michaela, thank you so much for joining me in the studio today. I'm excited to talk about all things health, something I'm very passionate about, and I think that when I talk to my friends about it who are like surface level interested in it, there's so much that they don't know. And I think this is going to be such a good conversation to talk about the basics and basic things that even I've learned from different guests that I've had on. Like the last time I had someone on that also is a nutritionist talked about protein intake. And that's when I learned, like, you know, the impact of, you know, drinking coffee on an empty stomach, the impact of protein. So I've learned it through my own.
So many little things.
So we're going to talk about so much of those details, but I'd love to know, why and how did you get into functional health and nutrition and, you know, this whole sphere?
Yeah. So we could probably take the whole hour or whatever to talk about my full story, but essentially I got into health and wellness really through my own journey with struggling with my health. I was put on birth control at a really young age. And then from that point forward, I felt like I just struggled with so many symptoms, hair loss, acne. I gained a bunch of weight. And that was like the first, and I was really young at the time. So I was like, what is going on? This is not normal. I was working out all the time, eating super clean. And I was going to all these doctors and they were just telling me that I wasn't working out enough and I was eating too much. And it was really confusing because I knew that what I was experiencing wasn't normal, but I was going to all these doctors and they were like, yeah, everything's fine. Just take birth control and it'll be great. So then, and really functional medicine was not on the scene. Like this was, I don't know, like 7-10 years ago. So like no one was talking about this and really traditional medicine was the only option I had. There was some services that were doing like functional lab testing, but it wasn't even close to where we're at today with like so many different offerings of lab testing and health coaching, which is great. But yeah, essentially I was like feeling like a stranger in my own body and started looking a little bit deeper and realized like my hormones were obviously just completely out of whack. My thyroid was dysfunctional. I had a lot of gut issues, and this was all after so many doctors were like, yeah, everything's fine and normal. So I went on my healing journey, making a slew of lifestyle changes, nutrition adjustments, just like really intensely changing everything about, honestly, like my whole life. I ended up losing 40 pounds and regulating my cycle. My hair started like growing back, you know, just kind of like slowly started getting the life back in me. And yeah, it, that's ultimately how I kind of got really interested in functional medicine, nutrition. So I went back to school. My degree is actually in journalism. So I guess it like kind of worked out a little bit because I do like social media stuff. But back to school, started learning more about women's health and just like really diving into all the research, which there's really not a lot of research on women, which is a whole nother conversation. But yeah, just really started diving deep into that, getting all the education and certifications that I could so that I could do what I do now. So I started working with clients, and now I've worked with over like 2,000 clients, and I own a virtual practice with lab testing and all the things. So yeah, that's like a little bit in a nutshell kind of how I got into what I do now.
Okay, so I feel like this is something I'm curious about myself, because I am on birth control right now. And it's funny because when I was at the gyno like a couple months ago, I actually, again, I have this podcast. I'm personally just naturally interested in health. And it's something I was thinking about. It's like eventually I am going to get off of it. And I think about like there's either a 50-50 chance it's chill and normal like some of my friends have had. Or the other half, which is like there's just going to be clear signs that you just got off of something. And I think I heard you mentioned that there was maybe symptoms of like PCOS or just like so many different things. And I guess going through that, for any woman who knows that she's eventually going to get off the pill, like, are there anything you could share that she could do right now to help prepare for that, or anything that she could just be mindful of, like, as she's getting off of it, if certain things are coming up? If you know what I mean? Because imagine like when it's happening and like, you know, whatever, maybe like skin things are happening or flare-ups, like, or whatever. And you're just like, wait, what is happening? And you know it's because you just got off of something, but you don't even know how to explain it yourself. So like, can you like dive into your experience on that?
I think like taking a step back, birth control suppresses your ability to make hormones. So it's suppressing ovulation, which is great for preventing pregnancy. But from a deeper level, you're getting no natural fluctuation of your own hormone, because you're replacing it with synthetic estrogen or progesterone. Usually there's like combination or progestin only. But it's not the same thing as your actual hormones. So you're not experiencing those fluctuations. I think a lot of women don't even know what birth control is, because it's so like, you know, like, here's this pill.
And take so it. Many got on like, you know, in their late teens or early 20s, which is my experience. But like, to be honest, at that time, like, I didn't know too much about it.
Right. And I see a lot of information on social media with girls, or like even clients that I work with, like, they don't truly understand like what it is doing to their bodies. And I am not against birth control. Like, I completely understand why women take it, and there's a lot of things you can do to support your body, which I'll dive into. But I think it's like all about educated decisions. And especially for really young women who are like, you know, alone in the doctor's office, and they don't really know like what is actually happening. They need to be aware of all the long-term side effects, which honestly, we don't really know. But yeah, I'm just more like for educated decision-making on that front, rather than just like, oh yeah, here's this. But anyways, my experience, I went on like all different types of birth control, because I was like, maybe it's the type that I'm just not responding to. Essentially, I went on and like immediately just weight gain, like hair loss, a lot of PCOS like symptoms. But then when I came off of it, because finally I was just like, this is not a solution. I'm not gonna do this. When I came off of it, that's really when like all the PCOS type symptoms started coming up, like really bad cystic acne, the weight gain, the like puffiness, hair loss, like even like hair growth on my face. It was crazy.
This is when you get off of it?
And there's like controversy with like post-pill PCOS is something that people talk about. And I mean, I feel like that definitely happened to me, because before I got on it, I really had like no symptoms. And then I went on it and like started having all these things. But the birth control pill depletes a lot of your B vitamins and creates a lot of nutrient deficiencies within the body. So I always recommend women that are on it, and maybe they're like, you know, 5-10 years from coming off of it, definitely just like support your body with as many vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. Like, B vitamins are so essential for so many aspects of different functions within the body. So supplementing with that, lots of liver support is really good. So there's a slew of different, like, you know, supplement blends that you could take to help with extra liver support. But I have like a little protocol that I recommend for people that are coming off the pill within like the next 3 months or something, like mm-hmm. really going deep into like B vitamins, liver support. And then if you know before you went on birth control, like, oh, I had a lot of acne and hair, mm-hmm. like those high androgen symptoms yeah. that would be consistent with PCOS, you can add in like specific things for kind of blocking that activity from happening to avoid like the rebound in hormone. I have worked with a lot of women who have gotten off of it after kind of working with me, like optimizing their gut yeah. and like other areas of the body, and they've had no symptoms, got their cycle back right away. Okay. So like I have seen it happen. I had one client, she was on birth control for like 25 years, like oh something gosh.
Okay.
crazy.
Yeah. That's a long time.
And I was a little nervous myself, but I worked with her for like a year okay. and like she had a lot of gut issues and, you know, cortisol things and yeah. thyroid issues. So we kind of optimized all that stuff. And then she was finally like, I think I'm ready to come off. And I was like, okay, I feel like we've done a lot of groundwork. And she literally got her cycle back within like the next month and zero symptoms.
Oh, wow.
And she was having like really painful periods. And that's like why in her like teens and 20s. And that's okay. why she went on it. But then she was like 30, 40.
Yeah.
Working with me. So yeah, it's definitely possible, but I have also seen some women get off of it and it is like a whole
right
different experience. So it's really hard to tell like how you're going to react to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the liver support, the B vitamins, if you have gut issues, like really mm-hmm. trying to support those systems can be helpful prior and then even as well as after.
Do you think that groundwork helped? And again, I'm sure this is probably a little like speculation, but do you think that helps in general, like when they're shifting from like going off the pill, for example, like do you yeah. think that's partially why they were able to have a smoother transition?
Yeah, for sure. No, I definitely think so, because sometimes what can happen is women coming off the birth control pill, obviously your hormones have been completely suppressed for, right. I don't know, like 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
And then you come off of it, and then sometimes some women get, like, a huge rebound in, like, all their hormones.
Yeah.
And that's why you experience, like, oh, my gosh, I feel XYZ, bloated, right. puffy, hair loss, acne. So adding in those things first so your body can process your hormones a little bit better typically can help have a better response yeah. versus someone, and also like the foundational habits like eating clean,
yeah,
working out, moving your body, sleeping, reducing alcohol consumption, all of that is gonna also help versus someone who's not doing those things.
Fair.
So I think, you know, all of it in conjunction definitely helps, but yeah. the type of birth control also like totally will depend on kind of what happens, I think, too.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. And like I said, there's really, like, no there's one long-term standing study on birth control. I think a couple more, but one, like, 20-year-long study.
Uh-huh.
And the results were, like, pretty inconclusive with, like...
Oh, really?
Side effects. I think it's, like, a little skewed on, you know, what they reported on. And I always say, I mean, research in general is really expensive, and
yeah.
the women's health space has like not a lot of research. So I could do my own research study with all the clients that I work with. That's like my
right
what I always say. So maybe one day I'll pull all that together. But
yeah.
it is crazy because I work with so many women, and we like obviously in our intake process have them list out, are you on birth control? Have you taken birth control?
Right.
9 times out of 10, all of these women have.
Yeah.
So who's to say how that has led to, you know, specific outcomes or symptoms that they're experiencing.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much. And I think also it is a common thing for women to be on. So I think.
Yeah.
I can even speak in my own position. Like, I think for me, my approach is like just trying to make sure all the groundwork and
yeah.
the foundational stuff is very solid. And so when I transition off of it, like I hopefully just have a better
yeah.
chance of just not running into any, you know, crazy fluctuations.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. No, you'll be good.
I hope.
Or just
totally.
Hit me up when you're ready.
Okay. I want to dive into protein intake. It's
yes.
something I mentioned to you earlier that last year, I just got super passionate about it. I was always generally very into health. I was a former competitive figure skater and college tennis player. So I think that helps. But I think when it came to like post-athlete life and just my normal adult life, I didn't get super into it and like all that clean living stuff. And like, I'm talking real clean living, not just like, oh, I buy stuff from Whole Foods. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like all the things.
Totally.
Yeah.
I got into that, I would say like last spring. And that's when I actually started to pay attention to protein intake, actually being mindful of not drinking coffee on an empty stomach. Yeah. Like so many of these things that I had no idea about, but like I said to you, that I learned from interviewing people on the show. Can you talk more about that and like just the basics of, you know, I know you've talked about how some women are not eating enough. A lot of them have this mentality of cardio only and, you know, maybe being in a calorie deficit. So can you share more of like the impact on if they're not getting enough protein amongst many other things, like how that could be showing up in their life?
Yeah, I think a lot of women undereat and overtrain. I'm sure as like a athlete, you've kind of learned how to, you know, make sure you're eating enough for the way that you're
Pass out on the court.
Performing. Yeah. I think a lot of women, even that aren't like athletes, train like that and they're not. They're like eating. And I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
Like I was working out all the time. Like I thought that was the way that I was going to see the best results. Mm. Like, you know, just eating as little as possible and probably training like, you know, an athlete, even though I mean, I guess I played soccer, but like nothing super competitive or serious. But yeah, I mean, I see that in my practice all the time, women just like not eating enough protein, but also just really all the other micronutrients and macronutrients. Carbohydrates specifically, mm-hmm. I think, are a big topic of conversation in women's health because it's like the typical carbs make you gain weight and whatever. Yeah. But as an athlete, too, I'm sure you know, like the importance of carbs are so essential for performance. And even in the research, a high protein diet with high intake of carbohydrate can actually help build muscle more so than not having like the carbs in the mix, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But my like kind of one liner on the protein is 1 gram of protein per ideal pound of body weight is kind of gold standard. Easy, especially if you're just like an average person working out, you know, four times a week, lifting weights, whatever. So like 130 grams of protein for 130 pounds. That's kind of like what you can keep in the back of your mind, which is a lot. Like if you're not tracking your macros, you're probably going to be like way under that.
For sure.
It's like really hard to get protein.
Because I'm thinking I'm probably getting like 100 grams of protein per day.
Which is good. I would say like 100 grams is good if you're just trying to, if you're just getting started.
Okay.
If you're like, let me just start here.
Bump those numbers.
Because it's like 100 grams even is tough. Especially when like I travel and stuff. Like it's really hard to get the protein in. I don't track my macros when I travel because it's just like too much.
Of course.
But it's really hard to find like really protein rich foods like on the go. So, but yeah, 100 grams is really good if you're just like kind of getting started. 1 gram of protein per ideal pound of body weight is kind of like a good gold standard if you're like lifting weights and training a lot.
Yeah.
And then fiber is really important. Like, if you're eating a really high protein diet and you're not getting enough fiber, you're probably going to have like a lot of digestive issues.
Yeah.
30 grams of fiber, if you're like trying to see like how much you should get.
Per meal or total?
Total for the day.
Okay.
That's really essential.
Okay.
And the standard American diet has about 5 to 10 grams of fiber in it. So like standard American being, you know.
Yeah.
Like just the typical average person who's not health conscious probably is getting about 5 to 10 grams of fiber daily. Fiber is really essential for preventing colon cancer, reducing cholesterol levels, helping with cardiovascular health. And if you think about it, like those are the top three like issues in America today is metabolic dysfunction and increase in colon cancer, especially in young people.
Yeah.
I don't think like lack of fiber is the only reason for those things, but it is a huge reason why I think we're seeing like a massive increase in like a lot of these cardiometabolic issues. and fiber is really hard to find in, like, unless you're eating super clean, healthy, whole foods, because it's like chia seeds, flax seeds, avocado. You know, those foods are not in McDonald's French fries.
Totally.
So it's really hard to hit that number, but I think the statistics are, like, really interesting when you're kind of thinking about, like, what most people, an average person, is kind of struggling with. But even women who are health conscious, like, they're probably not getting enough fiber either, because 30 grams is also really significant.
Yeah. That's so, basically, like, trying to average, like, 10 per meal.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. If you're eating, like, three solid meals. Yeah. But that would be, you're having, like, avocado, chia seeds, like, greens, sweet potatoes.
Yeah, what are some easy, so given that it is an easy one that people miss, like, what are some basic ways, like, let's say for someone that's just starting out, things that they can throw into their meals, dinner, lunch, breakfast, like, super simple, like, they can go get this tomorrow or, like, tonight.
I really like overnight oats as, like, a first meal of the day, because you have your oats that are going to be a little bit of fiber in the oats, and then also throw in chia seeds. That's like 10, 12 grams of fiber right there.
Yeah.
And then for lunch, doing, like, some sort of, like, beans, lentils, something like that can actually be really helpful. If you have, like, a lot of digestive issues, like, ease into this.
Yeah.
Because you might be like, what is that girl talking about? And then, like, sweet potato, avocado, adding that into, like, some dinner meal. Yeah. And then you're probably going to hit, like, 30 grams. Focusing on that.
Yeah.
Some people use fiber supplement. Like, you can supplement with fiber, throw it in, like, a smoothie, or just, like, drink it first thing in the morning. That's, like, a simple way to do it. A lot of my clients that are, like, on the go or working in an office, you know, doing those things will do fiber supplementation, which is better than nothing, I think. But those are just some, like, easy foods and things that you can kind of sprinkle in your diet. And it'll help with, like, combating sugar cravings, balancing blood sugar, speeding up, or just honestly improving digestion, which hot girls have stomach issues. But you don't have to. So focus on the fiber. But yeah, those would be the things that I would kind of add into the diet.
And you also talk about, like, trying to eat within 30 minutes of waking up.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Within 30 to, like, an hour of waking up. Yeah, I think, I mean, overall, a lot of women, and even myself many years ago, like, I was under eating, over exercising, following, like, the fasting diet.
Especially in the morning. Yeah, yes. I remember my days of, like, just
intermittent fast. Yeah. And then I'd, like, not be hungry until noon. but then I was like, why do I have no energy all day long?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're someone who is, like, an average person, you don't have blood sugar issues or, like, type 2 diabetes or severe insulin resistance, eating within an hour of waking can be a really good way to just kickstart your metabolism versus, like, fasting a bunch and then you're gonna go do, like, cardio or lift weights.
Yeah.
And your body has, like, nothing to utilize for energy.
Right.
Interestingly enough, if you're, like, fasting a bunch and then you're like, I'm gonna go do the Stairmaster for 30 minutes and then I'm gonna go lift weights, your body, especially if you're working out in a fasted state, has like nothing to burn.
Yeah.
So it'll start tapping into your muscle tissue to start breaking it. I'm sure you know.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
As an athlete, like, super important, because you don't want to lose any muscle tissue that you have. But even for your average person, like, muscle tissue is the way that you're going to be able to, like, sit down and burn calories doing nothing. But if your body has no, like, energy food to use during exercise, it'll start tapping into muscle tissue and breaking that down for glucose.
Right.
And that creates that, like, really inflamed, puffy, like, I don't look like I work out, but I work out all the time kind of look.
Yeah.
Usually that happens, again, with, like, women just not eating enough. So having that kind of gold standard, eating within an hour of waking, or 30 grams of protein within an hour of waking, can be just a good way to, like, kickstart the metabolism, especially if you're fasting a bunch and you don't need to, which a lot of women do that. And I've seen, like, the long-term effects of myself included, like, really just ruin my metabolism doing that, like, fasted cardio and just fasting all the time. You know, I think it's, like, make sure that these biohacking things are going to actually benefit you and not hurt you in the long run.
What would you recommend for someone that works out in the morning and naturally like doesn't want to eat something like a real meal before their workout? Like how can they, and this is even speaking for myself, like what to eat before a workout, let's say like weight training, and then obviously like after they can eat their normal breakfast.
Yeah. I recommend like just carbs, like just doing like a little bit of like half a banana. That sounds like not even that much, but like even just a little bit of that like fructose and carbs can like really help just kind of give your body something to go off of versus and trying to protect those, you know, muscle tissue and reserve that you have. So yeah, like a little piece of fruit. Usually if I'm traveling and I like do a class or solid core or whatever, I'll have like a banana and then like a little like protein bar or something. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do the workout. And then I have like a more substantial breakfast after that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like a little something is better than nothing, or like a little like half of a protein smoothie, or I don't know, just like a little something is going to typically be better than nothing at all.
What's your typical like breakfast, lunch?
Yeah.
I feel like I definitely got inspiration when another nutritionist was on and she was sharing like her typical meals. And
Let me pull up my, I post my full days of eating because I know it's super helpful to just like see examples. Days are super busy. Like I have calls pretty much like back to back from like 9 to 5 or 6.
Wow.
I do take breaks in between for like little walks, but like lunch. But yeah, I'm pretty structured as like a 9 to 5. I work from home, which is nice, but I meal prep every single week. Like I didn't do that, I would be screwed.
Yeah.
My boyfriend is an architect and he like works in an office 9 to 5. So he keeps me like pretty structured. We like do the meal prepping thing and he works in an office, so I'm like kind of try to follow his schedule a little bit just to kind of keep me on track. But breakfast, I always do like an egg scramble with 2 golden kiwis for fiber.
Okay.
And then I have a whole milk latte, which I had one this morning with a little bit of honey. And then I'll usually drink like 120 to 140 ounces of water daily, just like to stay hydrated, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do my supplements. I take creatine every single day.
Okay.
I have for like a year and a half now.
Before, so like with your breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like all of this is morning time.
And after working out?
Yeah. So the creatine, or I'll have breakfast and then I usually get ready, go to the gym, work out for like 45, 50 minutes. And then I drink creatine while I do my workout because I'm just like, but there's no like specific, honestly, timing with creatine. You can like really do it whenever if you're going to do
the
creatine thing. But yeah, then I'll work out and then I come home, like go to work. Usually I'm not like too hungry after because I just had like a pretty substantial breakfast. Mm. So then I have lunch like a few hours later. On this day that I'm reading off of, I had the like viral beef bowl with like cottage cheese, beef, sweet potatoes. It sounds like a really bizarre combo, but I swear it's so good.
Is it like ground beef? Or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Ground beef, cottage cheese, and then sweet potato, avocado, and then a little bit of hot honey.
Okay. That's actually very similar to like a lunch bowl for me too.
Yeah. Like protein bowl, whatever. Okay. And then I have an Olipop, which has fiber in it.
Okay.
But also getting fiber from the avocado, too.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Fiber, protein. And then for a snack, I usually do, like, a Greek yogurt bowl or, like, a protein smoothie. I'll kind of put those on, like, rotation.
Yeah.
But I'll do, like, granola, honey, berries of some sort. Yeah. And that's, like, pretty much it. So super simple. And then for dinner, this dinner I had was, like, brown rice. And then I'm... love this gluten-free orange chicken recipe that I make.
Okay.
It's like super simple, easy. And then I just do like a veggie on the side. So like broccoli. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'll have like a little sweet something.
Yeah.
But that's like a full day of eating. So my total macros for that day, if anyone's interested, that was 150 grams of protein.
Oh, wow.
183 grams of carbs and then 64 grams of fat. So like 1900 calories.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many eggs do you do?
So we kind of like make it into like a whole batch thing.
Yeah.
So it's like it ends up being like 2 whole eggs the way we split it up. It's like 2 whole eggs. And then we also do egg whites. I don't know exactly. We use like a whole carton of egg whites okay. and just kind of like throw it in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, two whole eggs and then egg whites of some sort on the side.
Okay.
So yeah, that's usually what I do. Sometimes I'll do like the overnight oats. Yeah. I like those to like add a little bit of variety.
Yeah.
But that like scramble recipe is super easy to make and it's just like a good like 30 grams of protein that I can have all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's solid. I know. Yeah. So many people, like myself included, it's just like nice to know examples of if they were to just start this tomorrow and like just be more mindful, like, okay, I'm actually going to eat breakfast before work. And like, they, you know what I mean? They're like, all right, she said 2 to 3 eggs. Check. You know what I mean? Like, these are like, I know my own best friends or like, some of them are like, they need notes. Yeah. Like they need that literally like, okay, how many eggs and like, how many, you know what I mean?
So I'm
like,
a good thing to do too. And it's funny because, like, I was totally in the, like, MyFitnessPal era of, like, 1,200 calories.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, that was literally me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was, like, born and raised in that era. And I still use MyFitnessPal, but it's totally different. Like, I'm using it to, like, actually fuel myself and, like, eat enough. So if you're trying to figure out, okay, like, how much fiber, protein, I just recommend literally throwing everything in MyFitnessPal.
Okay.
That's what I have a lot of clients do, actually. Like, good example, if you're trying to figure out, like, how much am I eating? Is it enough? You know, asking yourself these questions. Like, go track everything that you eat in a day in MyFitnessPal. Literally don't change anything about what you're doing. Don't try to like auto-correct and be like, I'm going to increase protein because you told me. No, it's really good to see like where you're starting from and where you need to go.
Yeah.
So I recommend that for everyone to just do like a little audit of like, okay, wow, I'm only getting in like 30 or like 40 grams of protein for the whole entire day.
Yeah.
Then you can kind of see, okay, here's where I need to like work on and fix and adjust. So yeah, MyFitnessPal has definitely like a dark history and past for myself, but I find it's super helpful. They've actually like upgraded. I have no affiliation with them, but like they've upgraded. So now you can like voice note your food. They make it
nice.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Okay.
They make it really easy so you can just like log your food without having to like be so meticulous about like, okay, 1 gram of that, which is the way I do it. But if you're just getting started, like that sometimes is a lot.
Okay.
So you can voice note your meals. It'll log it all in there. I think they even have a picture function. You can take a picture and it'll kind of generally decide what is in your, so you could, there's an easy way to do it. ChatGPT is like really not that accurate when it comes to macros. So I would use something like MyFitnessPal.
Okay. Okay, that's good. Yeah, no, I think so many women I know personally just would love like that basic guidance, you know,
yeah.
and just to like learn how to be more aware of their health and like how they're eating and how they're working out. I want to dive into your skin, which I'm sure you get a lot of questions about. And I also think I'm sure there's so much related to, you know, what you do externally, but also, again, like your diet, how you take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Can you start with the basics on what you notice, like when you started to notice your skin really improve, why you, you know, maybe you got really passionate about it, like all the things, especially for any women that are kind of struggling with skin and they want to just improve like that natural glow?
Yeah. So I really struggled for a long time with like high androgens, which is going to be more like PCOS type symptoms. So I had a really hard time with cystic acne on my jawline. Like it was pretty intense and severe. But yeah, really struggled with that. Struggled with high cortisol, like high stress hormone. And then I also had a lot of gut issues. So all those things in conjunction can really show up in your skin. And, you know, I would go to like dermatologists and they were just like, oh, yeah, here's like an antibiotic. Take this for like a couple of years and you'll be fine. So I was obviously like, that's not going to work. Really started focusing on reducing stress, fixing my gut and supporting my body to kind of reduce some of those androgens that were like building up in my body. I saw a significant change making those adjustments, like my skin really started to look so much better when I really started fixing and addressing those symptoms or systems. So like not working out as intensely, starting to feel myself properly. Again, the gut issues were kind of like a separate process, but like really made a significant difference for my skin. And then as I got older, I got more into like, ooh, what are these like, all these like skincare products that I can start using. I've always been interested in like beauty and health and wellness kind of goes along with that, but got really interested in like skincare products and whatnot. So I started getting like facials. I've seen the biggest change and difference in my skin doing like those more like upgraded services. So not like a hydrafacial, I think is good, but I saw better results when I started doing like regular chemical peels and microneedling. Has honestly helped a lot. I just got one done like a couple of weeks ago. I keep looking at my like forehead and the
it is so like solid. It's the, so good.
The microneedling, I am not kidding. Like
does it hurt?
No, they numb you. So it's like fine. Kind of after it feels like a sunburn. But it really helps produce a lot of collagen, get rid of like wrinkles, smooths out the skin, reduces a lot of texture. But I've seen really good results doing that versus, again, like spending a lot of money on the hydrafacial where I feel like it was just kind of an expensive like face wash. And then I actually, so I got really into like skincare products and I was like overdoing it with the... Because there's, you know, a zillion products out there and you're like, oh, this one's good. I need that. So I was actually over exfoliating my skin for a while. And this was like a year ago. And I was struggling. Not, it wasn't even like cystic acne, but it was just like texture and almost like little, like it looked like acne, but it was more just like my skin barrier was like ruined because I was so over exfoliating my skin. So I started focusing on more like hydrating products, products that were really supportive of the skin barrier. And that really helped transform my skin to like what it is now, I feel like, is adding in more skin barrier supporting versus like just overloading it with like all the exfoliants and everything that you can possibly think of. So that's really helped me. I posted my skincare routine yesterday on Instagram and all the girls are loving it, which is great. But I do use like a mix of medical grade products. And then also Prequel is a skincare brand that I love. It's in Target, actually. But I've used medical grade products for a really long time. And I feel like a lot of their stuff actually is like just as good, if not better. And it's like a quarter of the price. Because I know skincare can get like really expensive.
What are some examples of your favorite skincare products right now? Or ones that you feel like, oh, this one made a big impact.
The Prequel cleanser is amazing. It's like a skin barrier supportive cleanser. It's like really cheap too, which is great. And then I use the Even Tone Serum by Skin Better Science, which that one is like kind of a price tag, but it helps with pigmentation. So anyone struggling with like sunspots, which I definitely have struggled with, like sunspots, pigmentation issues, that serum actually works really well. And then the other two products that I swear by is the Skin Better Science peel pads. But only using them like three times per week because they're like kind of intense. And then their retinol. I use a retinol like every single night. And I really like theirs. Those Skin Better Science products are expensive, but I really do think those actually like work. So yeah, those would be kind of like my four tried and true products. I wear sunscreen every single day. I actually had skin cancer in 2016, I think. Yeah, I had melanoma on my leg and it was like pretty serious. And I know the wellness community, some like people in the wellness community are like, no sunscreen. But I'm like, no, I think we need the sunscreen. But yeah, I found out I had melanoma on my leg. Back in 2016, like had it all removed and I'm like fine now. It's pretty crazy. So I swear by the sunscreen and like not a big like tanning person either.
I think you mentioned the exfoliating part and like the over exfoliating part. I think that's a common one that a lot of people do. I've done that myself. And I think over the past year, I started to do more hydrating products as well. What are some of your beauty product favorites? I actually noticed, I saw a thing on your story or somewhere that you also use, I don't even know how to say, it's like Ciel.
I love their stuff too. It's like the cutest little small brand. Like, yes. I love their stuff.
It is really good.
It's so good. I'm honestly wearing a full face of that right now. And yeah. It's like, this is like my going out makeup. This is my everyday makeup. Like, yeah. I don't really do much. And it's perfect, just a little bit of something 100%. To like blur everything.
It's very
out.
Hydrating. Yeah. Too. The
skin tint.
Yeah. The skin tint. I really like that one. I also really like their concealer.
Yes.
Those are my two favorites. And also just like that's clean.
Yeah. You know, no, it's like a clean product. It's non-pore clogging. Mm-hmm. So it like, again, if you're trying to protect the skin barrier, you're more acne prone. I really, really love that brand. And it's like pretty affordable too. Mm. But yeah, those would, or that right now is like my favorite beauty products. I don't really use like a ton of stuff. Again, this is like my going out everyday makeup. But yeah, I love their brand. I think it's like a small women's owned brand too, which like I have to support
totally
that all the time.
And I think it's better to be more minimal. Like to your point, you're saying like, this is my daily makeup. This is my going out makeup. I think that's kind of like, for me, I really like French beauty, which they're in their culture. It's very about just enhancing your natural features and not overdoing it. And so that's kind of like my personal stance on beauty and just like, and also using cleaner products. Yeah. So that's part of why, you know, like I really love that brand. And yes, they've like gifted stuff, but like I really genuinely, I was like, no, you know what I mean?
Their stuff is like really good. I love their stuff.
Yeah.
I think to your point on like just enhancing your natural beauty, when I was going through my healing journey, it was like, I felt like a stranger, like in my own body. Mm. So I was kind of covering up those things with like hair extensions and like wearing way more makeup than I do now, and just like different things that now I look back and notice like why I was doing that, because I literally just didn't feel comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
So now I'm like all about very minimal, just enhancing what's already there. And it is nice, like obviously feeling good and being confident in myself, but it is hard when you're like going through that healing journey and you don't feel like you are living in your body.
Totally.
And you're just kind of trying to cover those things up with like all the things that are on social media, and you're like, ooh, I need this and that.
And whatever. Especially with skin and like stress and how that affects like gut and stuff. I actually heard on another conversation, I think you mentioned, and I think this is relevant because when I was asking my team if they had any questions they wanted to know, someone else also mentioned this too, like the impact of unhealthy relationships and some symptoms can show up. And it's funny because I actually remember many, many, like a long time ago, I was like telling a friend that I had like these swollen lymph nodes. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how this came about. I'm like, I take such good care of myself, and it was coming up, and I'm like, I was telling my friend secretly, I'm like, dude, I think the only thing I can think of is the stress. Yeah, no, seriously. And you know, sometimes when you don't hear someone else say that, you kind of feel like maybe I'm just thinking this, you know? And then when I heard you say this on another podcast, I'm like, okay, this is relevant. And someone else on my team also wants to hear more people talk about this because I think it's like a silent thing. Like you don't think it is. Like you might see like acne, or, you know, you're puffy. Like those things, yes, could be coming from other things, but sometimes it's also from an unhealthy, high stress relationship. Yeah. And maybe you've seen the switch when you like, you know, parted ways with that person, and maybe you saw some of them, those symptoms go away. Can you touch on that a little bit?
I mean, I look like a completely different person now than I did like when I was like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, when I was like in a different place in life.
And
I look like completely unrecognizable, I feel like, just from my, I don't know, personality, confidence level, like everything kind of shifts. But definitely, I think those internal, emotional, mental things show up in different symptoms and puffiness and bloating and skin and all the things. I think people oftentimes think of stress as like only a physical like thing. Okay, like running or working out all the time. Yeah. People don't take into account all the other things that could silently be like insulting your body every single day and you just like truly don't know it because you're just kind of living in it.
Yeah.
And I think as women, it's hard because you might be in a situation and you're like totally gaslit by this person that might be slowly just destroying your health yes. and life.
Yes.
And you're just like, okay, maybe it's me. Maybe this is just how it's supposed to be. This is normal. I mean, we see it in a lot of clients that we work with just because I hear so many stories about marriage or relationships, divorce. Like, yeah. I really hear it all. And it's super interesting how that coincides with like sleep, energy, you know, puffiness,
sure.
bloating, digestive issues. I mean, if you're definitely putting yourself in a situation where it's like you feel like you're in fight or flight every single time you're around this person or in this environment,
yeah.
I mean, that's going to have a profound effect on digestion and your hormones and everything else. So yeah, for me personally, I definitely experienced like a whole life shift and change when I kind of stepped away from that. I think I like tapped in more to my inner beauty and was like this feeling like a completely new, like different person and just like having more confidence and feeling better. Yeah, it is really interesting how that impacts people's lives. And yeah. it's hard to honestly, because if you were like telling me this like 4 years ago, I would have been like, oh, no way. Like, that's not uh-huh. real. When you're so in that
yeah.
like place of life, sometimes it's nearly impossible to be like, you know, hey, Michaela, I think this is like not working out for you because you're so just like locked into your current situation and you
right.
think that it's normal and fine. Once you're out of it, then you're like, oh, my God, why was I doing that for so many years?
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes it takes, you can't tell people. I feel like some people like won't take your advice and then they realize it once they're out of that situation.
Totally.
Because they're so, or you're just like so, you know, in that yeah. you like can't hear anything else.
Did anyone ever mention oh, yeah. you after?
Oh, yeah. Without, before, after, no during.
But like, did anyone notice a change in how you
oh,
look?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, completely different.
I feel
different.
Like that's such a big one. If someone yeah. says that, someone once said that to me, like when I ended my college relationship, which wasn't unhealthy, but I think clearly I was like limited, like just
yeah.
very in a limiting state of life. And I think someone I like was in my sorority, like she saw me many months later and we were like distant friends. She's like, you look so much happier. And I'm like, shit. Like, and you're
was
not
it
even
that bad.
And like, that's why I was like, well, that wasn't even like an unhealthy relationship, but maybe just like a very limiting one. And
yeah.
I clearly, if someone that was like, only saw me a few times a year. Like, you know,
yeah.
we were not even close friends. And like, she sees me at a bar and she sees me just more like lively in a different state.
Yeah.
My old roommate, I saw her a year later and she's like, yeah, you look much lighter. And I'm like, damn, dude. And so that's why I was curious.
That's
I was
hilarious.
Like, right.
Yeah,
like, did anyone mention that?
Yeah. A lot. Like, you look so much happier. What did you change? No.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It is like really crazy. I think also I've grown as a person a lot since like that time period and yeah that has obviously helped me just like from a confidence level, like personality wise, just like totally change.
Yeah.
But you know, I think as women we all like get mature and
yeah.
grow up and like that obviously changes, and some men yeah. never change.
Totally.
So it's like
that. I agree.
You know, we all become a little wiser.
Any supplements, like general I know you brought it up a little bit earlier, but like especially if you're on like birth control, like being
yeah.
aware of, you know, your vitamin B intake, like
yeah.
all of those things. Do you have any general supplements that, and I know it's a personal thing based on each person, but if you were to pick like two or three that are just solid ones that most women generally need or
yeah.
need more of.
So there's the Fab Five is what, or Foundational Five. You could call it Fab mm-hmm. Five if you wanted to, but five foundational supplements that are really good, really for everyone across the board. An omega fatty acid supplement, so fish oil.
Okay.
I really like cod liver oil if you're looking to like help your skin.
Okay.
Cod liver oil is great because there's vitamin A in in there. Accutane is a lot of vitamin A.
Oh,
so okay. if you're, it's not like Accutane, but
right.
it's more like bioavailable,
yeah.
real vitamin A. But yeah, cod liver oil or a fish oil supplement. Magnesium is really great for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I like magnesium glycinate to help with sleep, stress.
What's the difference between, like, I've seen it in stores, like, I've seen, like, magnesium glycinate.
Citrate.
What's the difference?
So magnesium, obviously, there's a multitude of different types, kind of like dog breeds. Like, a dog is a dog, but then you have, like, Chihuahua.
Totally.
Dachshund.
Totally.
Boxer. They all act, like, slightly different.
Okay.
So it's still magnesium. It's still a dog, but they all kind of have, like, different roles. So magnesium glycinate's really good for sleep, stress, nervous system.
Okay.
Citrate's really good if you're really constipated.
Okay.
So it can help with, like, gut motility. And then there's a slew of other. Those are probably the two most popular kinds.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, don't take a ton of citrate if you
don't
have that problem, or else you might be like, what
the heck?
So yeah, fish oil, magnesium, and then a multivitamin, honestly, is just, like, really good basic. If you're on birth control coming off, making sure that it has, like, a good amount of B vitamins in it.
Yeah.
Or you could do just, like, a straight up B vitamin instead of the multivitamin.
Okay.
Probiotics are really great.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have, like, really chronic gut issues, sometimes probiotics make things worse.
Yeah.
But in general, most people can benefit from a probiotic supplement. And then vitamin D is the last one.
Okay.
So vitamin D is really good for immune health, probably skin even a little bit too.
Yeah.
But most people are, like, significantly deficient of vitamin D, so it can help with, like, mood, energy,
right,
immune function. So yeah, those are the foundational five that I would recommend. And you can usually find, like, some good products that have, like, a combination of those things, so you're not, like,
getting
having to take, like, six or seven things if you don't want to do that.
Yeah. Quick question. Do you have any thoughts on Nutrafol?
Yes, I do.
I actually, because even for me, I got caught on, like, a YouTube video of someone sharing the side effects of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, then which one is it? Is it, like, good? Is it not great? Yeah.
I
was like, oof.
So there's a lot of biotin in the original formula. They have, like, a vegan formula, I think, or, like, an alternative formula that doesn't have biotin in it. But I know a lot of, like, acne prone clients, or even myself, like, I can't take a lot of biotin or else I break out, like, a ton.
Okay.
So that's something to be mindful of. Then the next thing, in a lot of supplement companies, I'm creating my own supplement, so I know this firsthand.
Yeah.
A lot of supplement companies, to kind of get away with, like, doing it the cheap way, they will not dose the product high enough to actually make, like, a significant impact for those specific concerns. For example, Nutrafol has, like, ashwagandha, which is great for reducing cortisol and stress, which is really good for high cortisol, high stress causes a lot of hair loss.
Mm.
So they add ashwagandha in there, but it's, like, a teeny tiny amount that's probably not even going to make a significant impact on someone's hair.
Yeah.
So in turn, I think if you're spending $90 on Nutrafol, you might as well figure out, okay, what is it exactly that I'm dealing with?
Fair.
Why is my hair falling out?
Yeah.
And then you can add in a specific supplement that's probably going to be more targeted and clinically dosed for that specific reason.
Yeah.
Because they kind of just take, like, okay, here's every kind of possible reason why someone has hair loss, and they put, like, a little bit of those things in there.
Okay.
But again, it's, like, little tiny, like, sprinkle versus you could take something more targeted that has, like, larger amounts that's probably going to actually make a significant impact. And I think people see, or, like, the results that they're showing on their website and all that stuff is probably coming from someone who has a lot of nutrient deficiencies. They don't really take supplements. So, of course, adding in, like, a multivitamin with, like, a ton of biotin is going to make their hair, like, somewhat grow.
Right.
But for someone who has hair loss because their thyroid is, like, on the floor, or they're really stressed out, or they have a ton of, like, androgen production, PCOS symptoms, like, it probably isn't really going to make a difference. And again, they're, like, doing it on the very cheap. Like, they're, you know, doing those, like, really small doses, because obviously, as a supplement company, when you add in, like, mega doses with, like, what the research actually supports, it's, like, really expensive to do that. So yeah, just kind of like my thought on it.
That's good to know too. And I think it's funny because when I started actually being aware of my protein intake, my hairdresser actually said to me, like, many months after, I would say 4 months after I started actually going, all right, 30 grams of protein per meal, like, minimum.
Yeah.
And I would, like, have those ground beef bowls. Like, I'd actually pay attention to how many eggs I was eating in the morning and, like, anything else I would need. And, like, a few months later, my hairdresser, he was like, your hair, like, the strands are, like, growing so much thicker. Like, what are you doing? And I wasn't even taking any supplements.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was just, like, because me being mindful of protein intake.
Protein is straight up, like, amino acids. Totally. And that's what your hair is made of.
Yeah, that's why I was, like, thinking of that. Like, well, you could also just change your diet.
Yeah, no, literally. We work with, it's actually interesting you say that. We work with some people, vegan and vegetarian. Mm. That was, like, really a thing. You know, I feel like, I don't know, like 5 years ago, 5-10 years ago.
And I lived in LA at the time, too. So
that was like the thing. Yeah. But we work with quite a few people who maybe are still stuck on that diet. It is crazy to see the amount, because we run like blood work and everything.
Yeah.
The amount of nutrient deficiencies and like low iron, hair loss, like all of that is very consistent with those diet types.
Yeah,
because it's true. So deficient in amino acids, B vitamins, like literally everything you need to have energy, grow hair.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's crazy. So thank God we've kind of like shifted to like a a protein.
Yeah. It's definitely the conversation I feel like of the past year.
I know.
Okay, well, final few questions. We're going to ask two from the What Fulfills You card game, which I also have one for you over there. These are like deep, just personal growth questions.
Oh, God.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
If you could tell your younger self from 5 years ago a piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say trust your gut and intuition, as I was in like a very toxic situation. Mm-hmm. And just know that there's hope on the other side of whatever you're dealing with right now. And also, I think too, back to what I was saying earlier about like really honoring my inner beauty and stuff is like stop trying to cover up like what, you know, is actually beautiful about you.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, embrace your like natural beauty. You don't need all that other crazy stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Last one from the card game. If you had 6 months to live, what would you do differently?
I would travel to as many places as I possibly could, I feel like. I've been traveling a lot this year, but I would love to travel to more international places. Maybe, like, write a book. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that I should probably do with as many experiences as I have had as a business owner and just struggling with my health. Write a book, travel, get married.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that should probably cover the whole 6 months.
Nice. Okay. Any book recommendations for the audience or podcast too, but any books that stand out that you read that you're like, oh, this one hit?
Every single girl, woman should read Beyond the Pill by Dr. Jolene Brighton.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
No.
You need to read it.
Okay.
We're
going to link that in the show notes.
Yes.
Everything. Okay.
Love Dr. Brighton. She's amazing. Definitely follow her on socials. She shares so much really knowledgeable and tangible just information that you can really understand. But Beyond the Pill explains what birth control is, like how it's acting inside your body, like what coming off birth control looks like. She kind of spells all that out. So that's a really great resource and book that I think every woman that's just trying to understand their body and hormones a little bit better should be like required to read, honestly, probably like in school. But yeah, that's a great book.
Last two questions. Anything that you would do differently in your early 20s and anything that you would do the same? Because I feel people often ask.
Yeah.
You know, people always ask, like, what you would do differently, and I get asked that a lot, and I often look at
that's a good question.
Yeah, but I often think, like, yes, there maybe could be things I would do differently, but there are also a lot of things I did right.
Yeah.
And I think that's, for me, from my personal life, I give better advice on things I did right.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I think things I would do differently is, like, stop trying to destroy my body in the gym and honor rest, recovery, learn how to fuel myself properly.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like my number one thing, because I think that really ruined a lot of aspects of my hormones, my gut, and I spent so many years like trying to reverse all of those things. So that would be number one. I think number two, one of the things that I did right, and it goes back to my mom. She's kind of like crazy insane like me. I've always had like a really strong drive for just like putting myself out there, like working really hard. Mm-hmm. That's just been instilled in my childhood. Like my mom's always worked, and I've seen her just like work really hard, and I've always admired that. And I think even through just my 20s going to college, like I was working all the time and just doing all the things that I could to like get what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that has stayed consistent, and I would definitely keep doing that. And I think that has led me to a lot of things that I have today, and just like having that personality and mindset is hard to find. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just continuing on with that.
I think that's the best thing, because we're about the same age. I turned 28 this year. And I think that's one of the best things, was like actually doing the work early on, like in my early 20s, like in college. Like it was just actually, you know, working and just figuring out what direction I want to go in life. And I think that's like how we kind of end up in this place in our mid late 20s, which is just like being able to be doing something really aligned to like who we are, what we know, what we're talented at.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are struggling to figure that out often. And again, I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but I'm just saying like I do have listeners that are in their early 20s. And if they hear that notion of just like apply yourself right now, you'll definitely reap the dividends like
later. 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think when you're in the thick of it too, especially like even starting my business, like I didn't get what I have now from like just scratch or like within a year. Like it was multiple years of really hard work, consistency. Like I gave up a lot of like opportunities, social events, and things to like get where I am now. But obviously when you're in it, you're like, oh my gosh, is this even going to work? Like, why am I doing this? But just like knowing that it's going to work. If you work really hard towards something for at least like a year, 2 years, it will work out in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hard when you're like in the thick of it.
Totally. Okay, last question, and it's something I ask every guest on the show. Okay. But in reflection of everything in your life and in your experience, what would you say ultimately fulfills you?
I would say a life full of wellness, honestly, like all the things that I did to heal my body and still like instilling those habits every single day, eating really clean, healthy, eating enough, resting, honoring my body when it needs rest, supporting all the nutrients that I, you know, supplement with, all of those things I feel like really fulfills my body health, and that definitely in turn shows up with like my personality, having glowing skin, being more confident. So yeah, just a life full of all the wellness things.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Michaela, for coming on the podcast. Where can everyone find you, your business, your social media link, share everything?
Yes. Be Balanced by Michaela on Instagram is where you can find me. Link in bio is my website if you're interested in testing or just learning a little bit more. And then Be Balanced Co. is my virtual practice. Mm-hmm. So we have a separate account for that if you just want to consume like all the educational stuff, like learn a little bit more, definitely join that platform. I have a really inexpensive membership. So if you're looking for just more questions to be answered, workouts, macro support, it's $19 a month. So you can join that if you're interested. But yeah, Instagram's my biggest platform, and TikTok if you're on there. So yeah, thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed the conversation.
And that was all for today's episode with Michaela Riley. I hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. If you had a takeaway, please be sure to let me know and post this on your Instagram story. Tag the podcast Instagram at What Fulfills You, my personal one at Emily E. Duong, and Michaela's Instagram, and all of her links are in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in today. I will chat with you all in the next one.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.